We've been talking about our theme for 2015, 21-5, the Spirit's alive in 21-5. We want to be a church where the Spirit's alive. We want to be a people where the Spirit is alive inside of us, the Spirit of God, that He's alive inside of us. And so I've been talking, and we're kind of going through a series here of the Holy Spirit in me. I've entitled this one, Listen to the Spirit. Say, what? So, say what? Okay. Thank you. Obedient kids out there. What does say what? What does that mean? You know what that means? I look it up in the Urban Dictionary. It says a term used when a person wishes for a surprising or astonishing statement to be repeated, or simply to show their surprise at said statement. And I think this, if we could really grasp what it's like to listen to the Holy Spirit, we would be so invigorated. We'd be, say what? The Holy Spirit has that to communicate to us. So astounding, so incredible, so wonderful, so awesome, if we would but listen. We'd be surprised, astounded, excited at the astonishing statements that I believe He wants to say to us, His people. Us, His people who sin at times. And thank goodness for His redemption, and thank goodness for His forgiveness, and thank goodness that when you sin, it doesn't disqualify you from everything, and you can never hear from God again. You just come into His presence, you ask Him to forgive you, you get on your knees, you repent, and you know what? It puts you right back in that favor, and you hear His voice. How awesome, what a wonderful God who went to the tree at Calvary to allow us to have relationship 24-7. And if we mess up, bam, we have relationship back again because of what He did for us. What an amazing God. What is the Spirit saying? What is He saying today? What is He saying to you today? What is He saying today to you that's fresh, invigorating, that's astonishing, that's amazing? Are we listening? God speaks to us. Now, I want to go through another section of Scripture. If you wouldn't mind standing, we're gonna say this portion of Scripture together. It's in Hebrews 3, 7 through 15, the Better Than book, where the writer here of Hebrews, nobody knows exactly for sure who the writer of Hebrews was, but it was the Better Than book, that Jesus is better than anything else. Let's start it. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You may be seated. Word of God is amazing, and it's interesting that we as people are cyclical. It's like another generation comes, and we kind of go through the same things our fathers did and try to learn the lessons. And God is trying to give us a lesson right here. He's trying to tell us about what it was like back when the children of Israel exited Egypt and what happened during that ordeal when God was saying things. Say, what? You're going to walk through the Red Sea? Say, what? I'm going to bring water out of a rock? Say, what? I mean, you got to understand that He said a lot of stuff. The problem is the people started getting dull of hearing, and it caused a lot of problems. So let's unpack this Scripture and what it's trying to say to us today. Going back to this Old Testament reference, when the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, Moses was leading them out,
And how does it parallel with us today? What God wants to do in our hearts and how he wants to speak to us.
Therefore, let's unpackage it. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit, Jesus died on the cross for us, said he would never leave us or forsake us, but then he went to heaven. And after he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he said, that Spirit will never leave you, never forsake you. That'll be my representation of me on the earth, in your heart, in your life. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, will be in there. He will speak to you. He will be there. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will talk. The only question is, will you listen? Will you listen? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today. What does today mean? Now. It's got a right now. Today means now until it becomes tomorrow. Right now until midnight. So today, sometime in the present, in the now, in this day. He's saying in this day, in this time, right now, right here, right in the midst of whatever you're going through. Today, not tomorrow, not Thursday, not a year from now. Today. That's what he's after. A today relationship with Jesus Christ. A today relationship with the Holy Spirit, where each and every today we are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit that is planted deep in our heart. Today. Today. If. Conditional. If. You will hear his voice. Not if you hear, because he's going to speak. Not like maybe if he speaks or not, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. He's saying here, but if you will hear, if you will to hear, will you put your will to hear? Will you make it your will, your earnest attempt, your desire to hear the voice of God? When? Today. Right now. What is he saying today when you're at the supermarket and you're in line and somebody said something and you start to talk? I was at a store yesterday and I wanted to get out really fast and the person starts unloading their heart to me and I'm going, oh, geez, stop and listen. You know, I know you got a lot of stuff going on there, but I'm really busy. I'm leaving. I'm a pastor. I got responsibilities. All right? And I was just like, God's going, divine opportunity here. Just be there. Listen, the person's starting to cry. That was my first thought, I should stay, when the person started crying. He said, oh, wow, Lord, I'm really sensitive. Yeah, you should have been sent about 5 minutes ago when I told you some stuff. Will you allow God to speak to you? Will you listen to it? Sometimes we have a don't ask, don't tell theology. I'm not going to ask God anything. We walk around like this. Lord, should I or shouldn't I? We're realizing I should because I want to. Therefore, I shall not ask. I have a don't ask, don't tell theology. I just want to go this way. Lord, if somehow this isn't right, I'm center grenade. Be careful because he can. He can blow some things up. We've don't ask, don't tell, instead of, I'm asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm asking, Holy Spirit, move upon me. I'm asking today, Lord, a daily relationship with you. Each and every day, the privilege of that relationship that we have with you is so amazing. Will we hear? Will we hear? Or do we really want to just go our own way with our fingers in our ears? Today, the Spirit of God asks us, will you hear my voice? Will you listen to my voice? Will you obey my voice today? Because he's going to give us an illustration way back when they did not. And guess what happened when they did not? When they did not listen, when they did not hear, when they did not obey, it didn't go well. He's trying to say, hey, today, let's make it different than what it was yesterday, than what other people did. And he's going to give us the analogy here. Here in the Hebrew, the word hear always has the connotation of not just hearing, but of doing, of obeying. In the Old Testament, by the way, this scripture here that we're going to go through here, today if you hear his voice, is also back in Psalm 90, I think it's 95, Psalm 95, 97, one of those psalms. It was written back then as well, and then brought here into the New Testament in Hebrews. It was done back there, and in Hebrew, the word here is the word Shema. Everybody say Shema. Shema, it means to hear intelligently, often with the implication, implied attention and obedience. You hear intentionally. You hear it intelligently. And then there's the idea of wanting to do it, of obeying, of making it happen. The Shema. As a matter of fact, the Shema was said by Orthodox Jews to this day, in the morning and at night. The Shema. The Shema is the scripture. When it says hear, it means Shema. And they call it the Shema because it's the first word in the prayer that they recite every morning when they wake up, every time when they go to bed. And part of the Shema is found in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. We do this at baby dedication. It says this, hear, O Israel, Shema, hear and obey, intelligently, purposefully, obey, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, only one. You got to realize it was an interesting thought. They were living in Egypt at the time, and when they were coming out in the Exodus, and in Egypt it was a polytheistic society, there were many, many gods. But God is one. He is one. He is the only God. That was important for God to tell his people. I know you're coming out of Egypt. I know you. They worship many gods, but there is only one God, only one, and he alone is God. That was important from polytheistic to monotheistic theology. He wanted them to know you are one, that he is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. That's what we do at baby dedication. Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And that's exactly why. When they lie down and rise up, you shall teach them. They said, the very last thing you're going to hear and the very first thing you're going to hear is the Shema. The idea that dedicated themselves that there is, I'm going to listen to you, God. I'm going to love you with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. It was to be the last things that was on their lips as they went to bed. Them about obeying God, and it was the first thing to be on their lips in the morning, that I'm going to obey you, God, I'm going to hear you. The Shema, pretty powerful thing. They do it today. We look at it and go, well, that's just kind of religion. You know what? Wouldn't be a bad idea that if every day you got up in the morning about, Lord, I'm going to obey you today. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to love you with all of my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And what if it was the last thing on your lips as you went to bed at night? Ever try to talk to a person who would not listen? You're not listening to me. Now, are they not? Is the words not going in their ear? No, the words go in their ear. The problem is what happens when it goes into their ear. It bounces around. It goes around over here, and it goes through the football game, and it goes through your golf match, and it goes through all that stuff, and then then all of a sudden it just kind of fades away in that void inside of our head. It's like, whoa. It just didn't go anywhere. It didn't go in your ear, listening, go in your ear, rattle around, and then go down to your heart and go, ooh, whoa. And then out of that go, I'm going to start walking this out in the ear, down the brain, down your throat, into your heart, out of your heart, into your feet, and then action takes place. That's hearing. That's listening. That's what your wife wants you to do when she's talking to you. All right? I had it. This morning, I got up and fed the dogs, and I took them out, let them out so they could do their morning ritual. Went back in, going to put my pants on, got my pants on, came back out. Open the door and look, nobody's there. So now I got to go put my shirt and shoes on and run out the door and try to find the dogs. And I'm yelling, Malibu! Allison! Allison is completely deaf, though. She's, I don't know, 15 years old, and you sit there and you go, Allison! And she just doesn't move. So I know, because she can't hear. Okay, so I excuse her. Plus, she's been around for 15 years. We love her. Now, Malibu, we love Malibu, too. But Malibu just is jetting around. Listen, I know you can hear me. Get over here right now. And tongue flying around, you know, looking at neighbor Jones over here and Mary over there and running around. So I get run out of the house, get all the way out, in the middle of the street, yelling at him because I can see him. Allison, you can't do anything with Allison. She only does sign language. But she has to look at you in order to see. So I got to, you know, you got to throw something at her or whatever to get her to look, and then you got to do this. Then she goes, oh, I'm supposed to come back. Okay, yeah. I go, why did you leave in the first place? You know you're not supposed to leave. And Malibu's out there running around, and she's running, and I get her to come, and I get her coming, and then I get Allison going, and we're going. Then Malibu takes off again into another direction. I'm going, come on! Now, you have to also understand, as that dog came back, I look at the dog, and she knows what's going to happen. I'm going to give her a doggy bone for being obedient, right? No, I didn't give her a doggy bone for being obedient. I gave her something else. A little swat in the rear and said, come on, you know better than that. Get in the house. And she knows it's going to happen. I'm going, she knows she didn't do well, but she still went and did it. And I'm wondering, you know, sometimes it's just how we do things too. You know, we sit there, we know we shouldn't be doing this, but we kind of do it anyway. We don't really listen. We don't really listen. And God sometimes is yelling at us, not because he hates us, because he realizes what we're doing is not going to bring joy and delight to our life in the long run. Hear, listen, let it go in your ears, through your mind, down your throat, into your heart, and out through your legs. Hear and obey. Continuing on. Today, if you'll hear his voice, will we? It says here, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial of the wilderness. Here's what he's talking about, that Exodus. What happened thousands of years ago as they came out of Egypt. He's saying back then, they hardened their hearts as in the rebellion. He calls it a rebellion. He's liberating the Israelites from Egypt from 400 and some odd years of bondage. He liberates them and he calls them, wow, I liberated them and yet they have a rebellion against me. The one who just delivered them from all of their bondage, from all of their junk, from all of their problems, from all of their hardships. I just delivered you from all of your hardships. I was in there because you cried out to me. And then you don't listen. And we do something we shouldn't do. Ever been there? God delivers us from something. Something's going great. And all of a sudden, but something else gets us off into a direction. And we don't really follow right. The word hardened here. Scleruno, it means to render stubborn, dry, hard, or tough. It also means, indrure, which means morally harden, to morally harden. These guys were hardening their hearts. They were becoming stubborn, hard, stubborn. Sometimes in the scripture, God calls because of the children of Israel, those stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked, they just kind of... You know, you're just stiff. You don't look nice when you're stiff-necked, do you? I mean, they're just a stiff-necked people. They just were going to do what they wanted to. They were just bent on doing what they wanted to do. They weren't going to do what God wanted them to. And it was tough. They were stubborn. They weren't letting it get inside of them. And here's a gut check. Are you soft and pliable to God's voice and willing to go his way? Or are you hard and stubborn and bent on going your own way, come hell or high water? Sometimes we get that, come hell or high water is what I'm going to do. And both of those things may come your way if we're not careful. We need to make sure that we're following with a soft heart the voice of the Holy Spirit that he wants to speak to us today, today, today. The children of Israel did not listen. They did not listen. They did not listen. They did not listen. I'll talk about that in a moment. Continuing on, it says here in this scripture, talking about how they hardened their hearts in this day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works, my miracles for 40 years. They saw all the great things that he did, all the miracles that happened. Even their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes or sandals never wore out, which was the women hated God for that. Had to wear the same outfit for 40 years. The same sandals. Oh, I love your sandals. Where'd you get them? Oh, I got them 40 years ago at the... But that was a miracle from God. It didn't wear out. It didn't wear out. It was a miracle. The miracles that happened, the sea opening, the manna coming down, the water from a rock, so many things happened. They saw his works 40 years, and yet in that time he says, they tested me and they tried me. They tested me and they tried me. We just kind of gone through some of the, in Exodus, if you're reading with us as a church, just finished up Exodus where they've kind of been trying God and testing him and all these things as he's brought him out of Egypt. Now you're going to be in Leviticus. Hang on for Leviticus. It's going to get Leviticated. It's going to be amazing there. I actually like it, Leviticus, but a lot of people don't. But there's a lot of laws and stuff in there that gets covered. Just keep going, because after Leviticus comes Numbers. Back again. They're going to wander around the wilderness. You're going to hear a bunch of other stuff, another story. But they tested him and tried him. You know why? The word test and tried is to see if they could approve of him. Okay, just a second. They tested and tried him to see if they could approve of him. He just brought you out of Egypt. You've been in there for 430 some odd years, whatever it was. And all of a sudden you're coming out of Egypt. Just open that up. You just saw 10 plagues, count them, 10 plagues that didn't affect you in the land of Goshen. My goodness, doesn't that give you an idea that it's a pretty amazing God? Isn't that test enough? No. They continue to test him. Boy, after all that God has done in your life, after all the things that he's already done to this day, do we still not believe him sometimes? Still think our own way is better? Still think, well, I don't know. I kind of want to go that way, Lord. I want to be different. Tested him. That's like you college guys going to your professor. The professor comes in and wants a lecture. And he goes, okay, today open your books. And you go, whoa. Wait a moment, Mr. Prof. I have a pop quiz for you today. Who is the, and all of a sudden you start quizzing your professor. Now, could you imagine that in your classroom? You stop and everybody, and the professor's on the scene, and he has to answer your questions and answer your pop quiz questions before you decide whether you're going to approve he could teach you or not. Not going to happen, is it? What's going to happen is you're no longer going to be in that class, right? But that's what they were doing. Here's the prof. They're going, whoa, wait, God, just a second. We don't know for sure. Okay, I just did 10 miracles there. I didn't like those. Okay, I've done a few more since. Remember the sea? Remember that? Remember the water from the, you remember? You remember that? No, I don't remember that. I forgot it. It didn't happen long ago. And yet sometimes we forget. We don't listen. We test God, going to see if he's qualified. You don't give your prof pop quizzes. We're not supposed to give God a test either. God says that the people, in Numbers 14, he's going to say this. God says that the people tested him these 10 times. Okay, he gave them 10 miraculous plagues and miracles that they saw. And a lot of them, they weren't even a part of because they protected the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. And it didn't happen to them. And then they're coming out and all of these things, these ten times they test them again. I don't know, 10 is a good, God gives them 10 commandments. And maybe they're going, hey, give it 10 commandments, we're going to give you 10 tests. I don't know. But they test them 10 times. And here are the 10 tests that the children of Israel gave God as they come out of Egypt. 10 of them. First one is in Exodus 5. The people didn't like what Moses was doing with Pharaoh because Pharaoh made him make bricks without Pharaoh supplying the straw, and they hated that. It made it harder. It made it harder for them. So they did not believe God could deliver them. The second test was in Exodus 14. They're at the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming with all of his army. They've already been exited out, but Pharaoh has a change of heart. He comes out. Then Moses looks back and realizes they're all there, and the children of Israel all complain against him. They're saying, because there weren't graves in Egypt, is that why you brought us here? Is that why you brought us here so we could die here at the Red Sea? Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I brought you right here because I wanted you to die right in this spot, right next to the sea, because I thought it was a better spot than back there in Egypt. It's like, seriously, are you asking that question? Sometimes we say things to God like, are you seriously asking him that question? You seriously think that that's why he wants to make your life that miserable? You think he's really doing, you think that's really
his intent? And they're bummed, and he wished that they would have just left him alone in Egypt. But instead, God opens up the Red Sea, a miracle. They walk through on dry ground. They get on the other side, and they look at the Egyptians, and all of a sudden, the Egyptians drowned in the sea. Amazing miracle. The second one, they tested him in. The third one, the bitter water at Marah. They're walking around, and all of a sudden, they come to some water, but it's bitter, and they're bummed. And they start to complain or start to murmur, grumble. And so what Moses takes a tree, and he throws it into the water, and the water becomes sweet. And he's trying to say, guess what? There's going to be a time when life is not going to be good, and it's going to kind of be bitter, and it's going to be bitter with the consequences of sin. And you know what? Jesus Christ is going to die on a tree, and that tree is going to change your life and make it sweet. He gives us an idea of what's going to happen, that Jesus Christ is going to do on the cross at Calvary. Then they come to the desert of sin, and they complain in the wilderness because there's no food. So God gives them manna in the morning. He gives them quail in the evening. And then they come to the fifth one. They're still in the desert of sin. And God said, hey, don't keep the manna overnight because it'll turn to worms. And what did they do? A bunch of them kept it overnight and it turned to worms. And they're going, hey, what is this? And God's going, did you not listen? Did you not listen? Did you not listen? And then a bunch of them, after that, they go and gather manna on the Sabbath day. But God said, hey, gather double portion on the day before the Sabbath so you have enough for the Sabbath. But they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And they went out and said, where's the manna? Hey, where is it? Did you not listen? I just told you, grab a double portion on the day before the Sabbath. Did you not listen?
We thought we did.
Sometimes we just don't listen. The sixth one, a Rephidim, which was the word, it was changed to Meribah, and Meribah means tempted or testing. And it was also called Massa, which means, Massa means tempted or testing. Meribah means contention or quarreling. They get to Meribah and there's no water. No water again. And they ask this, did you bring us here to kill us? Did you bring us here to kill us? And then they say this, is the Lord not among us? I mean, he's done 10 of the plagues. He's already done 5 of these miracles. And they ask, they have the audacity to say, is not the Lord among us? Dude, where are you guys missing this? So God has Moses take the rod and strike the rock, a rock also a representation of Jesus Christ. Jesus would be stricken and water, living water would pour out of him that would rush to all of us. Thank you, Lord, for your cross. The seventh one, they're at Sinai. The people make a golden calf. They didn't believe that Moses was going to come down from the mountain. They're waiting 40 days. Well, you know what? I can follow God. You know, I can wait. But after 40 days, that's my limit. And all of a sudden, boom, I start raising havoc. God, I gave you 40 days. I thought we gave him a life. The eighth thing at Tabra. An unspecified complaint. I mean, they had so many, they didn't even know what they were. Fire started burning things up. God got a little bummed, and Moses squelches that. The next one, number 9, at Kibroth Hatava, it means graves of craving. They were craving meat again. They got tired of the manna. Manna. We got manna. We got manna. I'm tired of the manna. I'm tired of this provision, Lord. I want a different one. And they were craving meat. They were craving flesh. And then finally, the Lord sends quail again. And the 10th one in the wilderness of Paran. 10 spies go out and complain that God, you know, it's a great land. It's just like he said, but you know what? There's one problem. There's giants in the land, and there's no way we can defeat him. And all the people said, oh, bummer. We're doomed. I wish we could have gone back. And here's what they say. This is interesting. Here's their complaint. They can't go and take the land. They're mad at the report of the giants, and they say this. If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. If only we had died back here in Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness. And God says this finally. He goes, you know what? 10's the number. I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. And they all died in the wilderness. He gave them what they were complaining about. You got to be careful sometimes what you say. Because God just might take you up on it. They died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. God says, hey, enough is, he's long-suffering, but you know, at some point he says, enough is enough, and he did. Today, if you hear his voice, how will we be different than the children of Israel? How will we be different than the children of Israel? You have to realize that none of them went in. Those who saw my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have yet put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice. This is Numbers 14. Have not obeyed my voice. No one's going in except for Joshua and Caleb. Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. Caleb had a different spirit. Do we have a different spirit? The spirit of the living God that's inside of us that yearns to hear the voice of God. Do we have a different spirit, a spirit that wants to enter in to the promised land? He continues on to say this. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. Why, Lord? Why are you so angry? Okay, after all that I showed him over here, all that I showed them through the wilderness, all of that stuff, and they refused to go into the promised. Ay, 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 mamma mia. What do you say in Yiddish? You'd say, Loive! Ay, ay, ay. Why do I have these people? I think he said that to me a time or two. Oh, geez, why do I have you? Lord, because you love me somehow. I know. But sometimes, sometimes, you're making me so. He was an Italian Jew. Sometime, you're going to make me, I'm going to slap you on the face. We do that to God, don't we, sometimes? He's long-suffering. He takes a lot of our stuff. But after a while, he's saying, you know what? I'm not your doormat here. I thought I was supposed to be the one you were serving, not the other way around. Although I do love serving you and helping you and encouraging you and all that, but aren't I the one that's supposed to be followed? Aren't I the one that's supposed to be served? Are you listening to my voice? Or do we just have to do what you want to do every time we get together? Therefore, I was angry with that generation. He was angry with these children of Israel, these children in the wilderness. But he wasn't angry because they tested him. Not really. I think this, because at each test, he was angry because at each test in which they tested him, God passed with flying colors. Every test passed with flying colors, but they didn't learn a thing from the last past experience. They didn't learn anything. It was like, hey, I just did something similar to that just a few moments ago. Do you not think I could do something? Do you not? Well, Lord, but now it's different. What are you going to do now? I don't think you can. Instead of letting the test give them confidence for the next one, they complained or murmured, and he was angry because they didn't learn anything from the previous test. And here's my observation. When tests come to you, do you have a complaining heart or a trusting heart in your relationship with God? You're going to go, God, blah, 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 blah. Or are you going to recount and recollect what he's already done for you and realize, you know what, I think there's a good road ahead. I think he's got a good plan for me. Continue on this verse. And said, they always go astray in their hearts. He was angry with that generation, and he said that they always go astray in their hearts. He was mad because they went astray here. And here, whatever's in here always gets walked out here. It doesn't matter what's in here. In here, there's all sorts of things running around. But when it gets to here, this thing has the levers to your feet. All of a sudden, you know, your feet kind of move according to what your heart is. It's what's in the heart that matters. And so he was saying that they went astray, not in their head, not even in their feet. They went astray in their heart, which led to them walking away with their feet, with their actions. That's why God's never after your actions. He doesn't care about your actions. He cares about your heart. Because if he can get your heart, your actions automatically follow
your heart. So he never looks at you and goes, well, that. He goes, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want to change you here. I don't want to change your actions. I don't want to do external behavior. I don't want to make you Pavlov's dog. I don't want to do that. I want to change this inside here. Because if I change this inside here, everything else automatically follows. And he was bummed because their hearts were going astray. Question here. God says, what on earth do I have to do for you guys to gain your trust? What on earth? I've moved heaven and earth for you in all of these incidences and miracles and situations. What do I got to do to gain your trust? The word astray here means to roam from safety, to roam from truth, to roam from virtue. He was angry because they weren't becoming closer to God. They were roaming further away from him, further away from him. They roam from God, from his truth, from his safety, from his virtue. Do you remember the days when you had a phone, a cell phone, and they charged you for roaming? Remember that? You got a little message, roaming. And then you had to realize, okay, it's going to cost more if I roam. I'm out roaming now, so it's going to cost more. I know some of you college kids don't even know what roaming is. But, no, I'm just kidding. There was a day when you paid for that. And even today, even though we don't have to pay for roaming, my phone still says, hey, you're roaming. And you have to make sure you kind of cut that thing out. I got a new phone and it keeps coming up and I got to get it out. So somebody help me deliver it from my phone. But it comes up and says, roaming. Are you sure you want to roam? Charges may apply. And it's like it used to cost you something to roam. And you know, I think if it cost us to roam, when we roam, when we get away from God, you know, do you understand? It's going to cost you to roam. You start roaming. Your heart starts to go in astray. You're on roam. I'm just roaming. Hey, we got free roaming. Our church has free roaming. You can roam as far away as you want from God. It doesn't matter. It's free. I'm going, who made that up? Who gave that advertisement out that there was free roaming? There's no free roaming. You start roaming and it's going to cost you something somewhere. Somehow. Is God gracious, loving, forgiving? Yeah, but you know what? We just keep thinking, oh God, free roaming! I'm going here! I'm going into the city, but there's free roaming! Hallelujah! You better realize you're on the wrong plan. You're on somebody else's plan. That's not God's plan. You don't get free roaming with God. The devil has a free roaming plan that you pay at the end after you've roamed. And realize, wow, wait, you know, where's that in the contract? Oh, right here in the small print. I can't even read that. I know. Are we roaming? That's what was the problem. They were roaming. The Israelites were roaming out in the wilderness. Hey, I was going to give them, hey, I can talk to you direct right here on the mount. Come on, let's. No, we're going to roam. Roaming costs, but they didn't think so. And then he says this, and they have not known my ways. He says, their hearts go far from me, and they have not known my ways. Now, this is kind of an interesting scripture, a phrase right here, because it's going to go back to something. It's going to go back to another verse in Psalm 103:7. It says, they have not known my ways. The children didn't know my ways. And if you go back to Psalm 103:7, it says this. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel, his ways. And he's saying he was bummed because they don't know my ways. And the children of Israel were in the same spot. They did not know his ways. They only knew his acts. And let me define here. The word acts, what they knew. Alila. It means effecting an exploit or a performance. It's an act, it's a thing, it's a doing, it's an event, it's a something. The acts of God. He opened up the Red Sea, I saw that. I saw all of these acts. I saw the things. They saw the actions. They saw the performance. They saw the effects. But Moses knew his ways. And the word ways here, darek, a course of life, a plan for your life, a mode of action. It's this plan. It's this, okay, here we go. Here you are. And he's going to begin to describe all that he has in store for you. God's plan for your life. And we kind of, oh, wow. You see, the children of Israel, they only saw the certain events that happened. That's all they wanted. That's all they were caring about. But Moses, he got up there, and he was privy to God's drawing board. He was there on the drawing board. He's going, okay, what's the plan? Oh, my gosh, look at that. And he sees the plan from here to here. And he's going, I know what God wants. I see his plan. I see his vision. I see, oh, this is going to keep me moving. And you realize that the children of Israel only saw events, little issues here and there. They were never concerned about the big picture, never concerned about the plan, the main event, things that are going to go on and happen. And therefore, each and every action, they were back at the same spot again because they didn't want to know the plan. But Moses knew the plan. God has a plan for you. Do you know the plan? Do you know the ways of God? Not that, well, this happened, oh, shoot. Oh, this happened, oh, shoot. Oh, this happened, oh, great. We just action-oriented or we plan. I know his plan. So when a certain action happens that we don't like, we go, that's all right, because I know the plan. It's okay. I know the plan. I know where we're going. I know how this fits together. I know the plan of God for my life. And that's why they went astray in their hearts. Action-oriented, event-oriented, circumstance-oriented. And that led them versus the plan of God leading you in your life. The plan. Do we see the plan? Moses had a soft heart, and it got him a place at God's drawing table. He saw his plans. He saw his plans. Do you know God's plan for your life? Or do you just know the events that have happened in your life? And that's why he was bummed. Then he goes on, because the people only cared for the actions and not the ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They don't get the promised land. They don't get a rest from this stuff. They don't even get to go in the promised land. They lost out. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. They didn't go in to enjoy the rest of the land. A lot of Christians don't get to enjoy the rest of the land, the rest of our life, because we're just action, event, circumstance oriented rather than plan. I know God's plan. It's okay. I don't care if that happened. God's good. He's good. He's good all the time, all the time. God is good. I know it's going to be good. I know good stuff is down the line. When we only look at the actions of life, we miss out on our rest. Only when we are close enough to God by the Spirit to see his ways, his plans, do we have rest, peace in the midst of a storm. We've got to be plan way oriented, not acts oriented. Continuing on, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Beware, warning, warning, warning. Today, don't be like the children of Israel back then who are just looking at my actions, but live in the ways of God. Not in the acts of God, in the ways of God. In the ways of God. Be driven by a purpose and by his plan, not by his actions. As we bring this to a close here. But exhort one another daily, why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need each other to keep us on the path, to keep us going in the ways of God, knowing his plan. When one person is having a bummer day and things are going bad and the circumstances are bad, we need to help them know, but God has a plan. Oh, he has a plan. You got to realize, don't live in the moment right here. Don't live in this action. Live with the plan in mind. He's got so much more. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. God has a plan. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's magnificent. Keep moving. Today. That's when we should respond to God's plan for our life. Today. That's when we should respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, don't do that. Do this. Today, that's when we should obey the quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Today. 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 For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginnings of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's not how you start, but how you finish that really matters. Because I'm following the plan. I'm following the plan. I'm following the plan. I'm listening to His voice. I'm following His plan. I'm listening to His voice. I'm following the plan. The Holy Spirit has given us the plan. And it ends with this. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the wilderness. He says it again. And in chapter 4, He's going to say it again. I think He wants us to understand. Today, hear His voice. And don't do what they did. Respond to me with a heart full of love and compassion. If you don't listen and obey the voice of the Spirit, you may miss out on something great that God has for you. Father, help us. Help me, Lord, to hear Your voice. To hear it, Lord. To hear Your voice and to obey. To respond to it, Lord. To follow it. To see the plan. And allow it to keep me moving on powerfully for You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We thank You so much for all that You've given us. Keep talking, Lord. We'll listen and we'll do what You want us to. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, when we use the megaphone, you can either do this with it, hey everybody, or we can listen. Wow. I can hear that. Who said hi, Pastor Phil? Oh, well, good. You can hear. Say something sweet. I love you too. It seems like a lot of time we want to just talk. But remember, we have two of these, one of these. It's really amazing what I can hear through this. No, you can't leave early. No. Is that how we are poised with the Holy Spirit? Are we yearning? What, Lord? What? What? What do You want me to do? Or are we, let's be those who are saying what? Listening for the voice of God. Next week we're going to talk about the flesh versus the spirit. It'll be an interesting dialogue as we talk about that in the ring, in the cage match. Flesh versus the spirit. Love you guys. God bless you.